This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Clouds to the left, dark clouds to the right, here I am stuck in the middle.
Hi, I'm Tracy.
And I'm Susan.
And this is the club for women in the middle.
You know, the ones with little kids and big kids and aging parents and work and hormones and money and a to-do list that breeds overnight.
Welcome to the Sandwich Club.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. What a week.
Yeah, we're going to hear all about that. So what's in your sandwich today, Susan?
So I was thinking about sheaves of paper that might include things like an obituary, trigger alert for the rest of the session today, annual reviews.
Ooh.
Words that sit on a tombstone. All
this
of those things.
Like it's going to be a good one.
I'm thinking about the legacy that you leave. So it's kind of a serious topic, I guess. But what is it you want to be remembered by?
Yeah.
What do I want to be remembered by?
Yeah.
And people listening, what are you doing right now? Like, are you doing the stuff that you want people to remember you by?
Yes.
So I'll start with a funny story.
Okay.
So my father, stepfather, fancies himself as a handyman. He's not anymore. He's actually quite unwell now. But when he was young, he fancied himself as a handyman. And his favourite thing was a bracket.
Oh.
So if anything was broken, it didn't get fixed, it would have a bracket put on it.
Right.
And he'd say, you could just put a bracket on that and it would be fine. And so we used to joke that his tombstone would say, Jim Dwyer, he put a bracket on it.
Wow, the things you can get known for, right?
Because he was very good at, So, you know, if it was putting something in the wall, like say he's hanging up a hook, because he likes a hook on the wall, he wouldn't look to see whether there was a noggin. He'd just put the hook up. And then if the hook didn't work, he would either put some super glue on it or maybe put another thing underneath, like a nail underneath it or something to hold the hook up. So, it was all about the bracket.
So,
it's kind of funny, and I don't know whether he would find that story funny or not, but I do. But it does make me think about what would you want to be known for? If you were, if you died tomorrow, what would you want people to say at your funeral?
Yeah.
And it kind of trips on from my conversation about wanting to grow the funeral celebrancy
and
helping people think about somebody in a positive way or not.
Yes.
There was a really weird death notice in the Waikato Times two or three weeks ago. This guy, I can't remember, we'll call him John Brown because I can't remember the name, that said he lived an unusual life full of secrets and questions and some people will miss him and some won't.
Wow.
What a bizarre. I was just dying to know more. I was like,
just want to go
to
the funeral.
I really want to go. You're like, there was no funeral notice. Damn it. What a light to have known more. But yeah, you know, I kind of read those and think, gosh, what would I want people to say about me? And if I was writing an obituary or a service for someone, what's the thing? Like, what's the elevator pitch that you want people to remember you by?
Yeah. So if you had, well, one day you will have a tombstone. What is going to be on that tombstone?
No, I just want to be put out in a plastic bag out in the rubbish. There's actually a novel. I can't remember the name. It's called The Odd Something Something. I'll have to look it up for our readers.
Yeah.
A novel. And in the novel, it's about an autistic woman.
Right.
And whose father raises her. And he always says to her, now, when I die, don't have a funeral, just put me in a bin bag and put me out on the side of the road.
Right.
So this autistic woman, that's exactly what she does, and it launches a murder investigation and whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
It might have been Strange Sally Diamond, actually, I think is the name of the book.
Okay.
Wow. Anywho, what would I want on my tombstone? Mm. I wouldn't want what was in my school reports, which was talks too much.
I thought my name was Shut Up Tracy for many years.
Would benefit from talking less and listening more.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Nah.
I'd like people to say that they thought I made a difference to them in some way.
Yeah.
When my kids were smaller, because you never knew when you might need to have an impromptu disco.
Right.
I used to carry a miniature disco ball in my handbag. I kid you not, I did.
The dancing queen.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, because you never knew when you might be at someone's house and need to put High Five or the Wiggles on or something. And one of my friends, my birthday twin, Melanie, described me as a party in a handbag. because I actually carried a disco ball.
That's a good thing to have a tombstone. That would work.
So, yeah, that would work.
A party in a handbag.
She was a party in a handbag. Yeah, I wonder what people would think. What about you?
I would have also gone with the shut up, Tracy. but I think I would love to be known for being a hope bearer and, yeah, making a difference, having a positive impact on people's lives. And when we aired that show with my boys, I had a little taste of, and I said to someone afterwards, you never get to hear what people say to you at your funeral. They're like, oh, duh. But to hear some of those little tiny things now, I think we should just have a funeral before we die.
So there's been a thing doing the rounds on the interwebs where this woman threw a funeral. Like, they put the death notice in the paper and everything, and then she turned up. She turned up. Yeah. So she got to hear what everybody said about her, and then she's like, surprise! Ta-da! So how she kept that a secret, I don't know. But yeah,
she didn't rise out of the coffin, though.
No, I don't think so.
It'd be terrible, can you imagine?
You know, the guy from the Hokey Tokey did that. He put his left leg in.
Oh.
And then they couldn't get his left leg out. It's a terrible mum joke. So this woman turned up and got to hear what everybody said about her.
Yeah.
So I kind of think that, I don't know what you'd call it, a life celebration rather than a death celebration. Because it's kind of weird, right, that you hold all of the nice things until somebody's gone.
Gone. And then they don't hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess the person that's well-loved would know that.
Yes. Yes.
But would you know that 500 people turned up to your funeral?
No.
You don't?
Yeah.
Depends on what you believe, I guess. But yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. So what are we... I think, what are we doing today to ensure? Because what do we want to have on our tombstone or said about us at our funeral? But then what are we doing now to ensure that that's actually going to be the case? Because we can do something about it. You know, when you kick the bucket, then it's done.
So I think, I mean, one of the things people would say about me is, where's all your stuff? Because they come to my house and it's kind of, minimalist.
Yeah,
it's hard to say that word. Minimalist. But is that what I want to be known for, is not having any stuff?
Yeah. I'll probably have. She had too much stuff. We're so opposite in some respects. I love it.
I've got the stuff. It's just that it's all hidden,
hidden away. Oh, yeah.
I'm very good at folding.
So what am I, a maximalist?
Maximalist. I think, is that a thing? It probably
I'll
is.
I'll make it one. It's our thing now.
Yeah. So that reputation, what's weird, right, is that if you're at work... Mm-hmm. They say, there shouldn't be any surprises in your review. But the reality is, for most people, they only find out whether they're doing a good job or a bad job once a year at their annual review.
That's ridiculous. Right? Yeah.
And if you are, when you die, you find that out. But we're not very good at telling people what we think about them on a regular basis. Because I don't know whether it's because it's seen as cheesy. Mm. I don't know. I'm not very good at receiving compliments. I'm kind of kind of.
Did you see your body language? We do that. The minute someone gives you a compliment, you kind of bat it away.
Yeah, definitely.
And I remember watching something online, and she said, whenever you get a compliment, pull it into your chest and say thank you. She said, you don't have to explain anything. Just put it into your chest and go, thank you. It's because it's a gift. But I don't think the Kiwi culture likes complimenting or receiving compliments. I haven't heard too much of, you're amazing at this and being allowed to be amazing. We've got to keep it tempered.
I think it's definitely seen as a bit, you're a bit OTT if you're out there telling people how fabulous they are. And yet, like you were saying, you went to Lisa O'Neill tonight. Shout out for Lisa O'Neill. Lisa, those kind of people, that's what they're doing. They're standing on the stage telling you to, be amazing and all of that stuff. Yeah. So it's okay if you pay $55 to go and hear someone tell you that you should be amazing. But we don't do a lot of it.
Yeah.
I left a job recently and I got a farewell card, and the farewell card said, what you did mattered.
Wow.
And I just, that was, yeah. That's very special. But it was just really amazing words, because that was what I cared about in the work. You know, it wasn't, that was a great course, that was a whatever. Yeah. Just those words that it was noticed was really nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that
so
was
we
lovely.
We need to hear things like that. And I think, do you think it's also that kind of that tall poppy syndrome of keep everyone, like, Don't think you're too
don't
good.
Don't have notions.
Yeah, yeah, notions.
Don't be having notions.
Don't be having notions.
Yeah, I guess so. And maybe high, if you're a super high achiever, you know, you're in the, regardless of your political view, the kind of Jacinda Ardern kind of realm.
Yeah, yeah.
People don't like that.
No.
Generally.
Yeah. It's like pulling everyone down. It's
Are we afraid?
Yeah. One of my favourite quotes, first time I heard it was at Mandela's inauguration kind of ceremony, but it's Mary Ann, somebody other, and she says it's not the thing that we're not afraid of isn't the dark things about it, it's our light. We're scared to be amazing and wonderful and glorious. Those are the things that we try and downplay. So I don't think it's just the Kiwi thing. I think it's just a human thing that we want to downplay that we're amazing and great. And
so beautiful. Now there's this whole movement, right, of this the peri to postmenopausal woman out there doing amazing things and being amazing and wearing outrageous clothes and statement jackets and crazy glasses and, you know, being disruptive kind of thing. That's become – but even that – I kind of look at that and go, I'm a bit uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. I just feel like they're being a bit
out there.
They're having notions. They're having notions. No, I don't know. I think those women have a confidence that I don't have.
Yeah.
Says me sitting here on a podcast going look out at to us. The world. Yeah. But I think the people that do it in public, I really admire those women that can get up on a stage and go, you know, you're amazing. You're feel like the Lisa O'Neill type people that can do that and bring other women along with them.
Yes.
And I imagine somebody like that, at the end of their life, people look back and go, man, she just was incredible and such an inspiration and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't aspire to inspire. Ooh, that sounded so good. I don't aspire to inspire anybody, but I do aspire to make a difference for people, whether that's a little difference or a big difference.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a complimenter. So I'll constantly stop people in the street or say, you know, nice hair or nice bag or something like that. And when I was in New York, I saw this woman with amazing shoes and I went up to this woman on the subway and went, excuse me. And she literally jumped back. Like, I think she thought I was going to ask her for money or sell her drugs or something. What? What? And I went, I just wanted to say I really loved your shoes. And she just looked at me like I was a crazy woman.
Yeah.
And then went, oh, thanks. And then I kept walking. I wasn't stopping panhandling. But you can make someone's day so easily.
Yes.
You know, I love that shirt. Yeah. That colour looks great on you.
Yeah.
Cute baby, whatever the
And you feel thing. Just as good as telling them. Couldn't you see their whole faces light up? It's like, that's amazing. We should do that more.
Yeah, we probably should. Yeah. I think, paying people compliments for how they look.
Exactly.
Is really
even
good.
Just smiling at someone, have you ever noticed? Although, when I went to London, as my ex-sister-in-law put me onto the train, she said, do not make eye contact and don't smile at anyone. And I thought, that is so not me. I just can't help but smile at people.
Say hello to people.
Yes, and I did. I smiled at a whole bunch of people and they just averted their eyes. They just looked at me and
I thought,
that's awful that you, no wonder you're so sad.
Yeah. I was quite surprised in America how many people said hello as you were walking around, whether it's because we're in tourist areas maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I can't remember in Australia where that happened I was there last year. Yeah. I don't know.
Funny, hey?
But New Zealanders do it. I mean, I go out walking and you say hello to everyone. It's almost rude not to say hello. Because then you've got that legacy, you know, that horrible old bag that I pass every day at 5:30 p.m. She's got a face like a smack bottom.
You don't want that on your smack bottom. You don't want that on your grumpy old bat.
Grumpy old bat. Well, there's probably some women that would think that was awesome.
Yes, yeah.
To be known as a grumpy old bat. Yeah. To be a crone.
A crone. You know? Yeah. Oh,
There's a Facebook page, I can't remember the girl's name. She's just recently said her name. And she's a horrible woman that makes content for other horrible women.
Oh, really?
And that's her line. And she's all about, you know, smashing the patriarchy and whatever. But, that's kind of her thing.
Wow.
And social media's done that, right?
Yeah.
So people now have this brand.
Oh,
this is my brand. I'm
nasty.
I'm nasty woman or I'm, you know, upbeat girl or I'm...
Yeah.
The introvert or, you know, fashionable to be ADHD or whatever the thing is.
Something that I just thought of as you said that, so our legacy, so we always say how great it was to grow up in the 80s and
yeah.
There's no evidence of what we got up to or what we looked like or anything like that. But the legacy we leave online is quite something. You know, my mum's been gone for a few years now and she's still on Facebook, which is, like these little reminders come up, which is quite heartbreaking sometimes.
And who wants to be the person
to close down the Facebook account? I don't think my dad knew how to get in there and close it down.
I don't know.
Yeah. So not only do we leave kind of the real legacy, which is who we really are, there's a legacy that gets left behind perhaps that isn't even real per se. It's kind of the glossy part of
it. Because there's no doubt about it that the internet version of everybody is their best selves, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember having that conversation with my kids when they first kind of got on social media that what you see is the best life somebody's having. And all these influencers with their, you know, cat's bum lips and everything, they're not, it's not real. It's not real.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're perfect babies that sleep 12 hours a night and never spew up. And it's not real.
It's not real.
But I wonder what their legacy will be, right?
Yeah.
Like, what will they be remembered for? And all these ones now that are on OnlyFans.
What's that?
Tracy, not only grands or only nans, OnlyFans, it's a porn site.
What? Okay. How did I not? Okay. Yeah, I suppose
Google
I don't
it.
Look.
Google it.
Do I really want to Google it?
No, probably not. Anyway.
Oh, thanks for the education.
The women and men that are on sites like OnlyFans or those X-rated, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
What's their legacy
for their children?
Imagine Googling that when you find your grandma.
What did grandpa do?
Yeah, I know. Oh. What part of that is going to be okay?
Yeah. Wow.
That's horrible.
Yeah, that is horrible.
But yeah, to get back to the legacy thing.
Yeah.
I guess the reason I've been thinking about this is, you know, both my parents are unwell at the moment, thinking about the legacy that they've left. And it kind of follows on from what we talked about around, you know, opened my mouth and my mum came out and the stories I told about my grandmother in the last episode, which interestingly, I shared that episode with my family.
Right.
My cousins, who obviously shared the same grandmother. Yeah. And my sister has also done some research on my grandmother.
Oh, wow.
And has uncovered a 2 or 3 hour interview that my grandmother did that's in the New Zealand National Archives.
Oh, wow.
About her life.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was, in her own world, kind of famous in her own world. So again, that legacy of her kind of lives on now and on tape, but lives on for others.
Yes. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I think, although I don't necessarily want to be like her, although I do love the cream and the butter, as I mentioned in the cream puffs, I wonder what that legacy will look like. Like, what will your grandchildren say about you when you're gone, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a serious topic.
It is. And I think, like, we're at the age, unless, you know, we get hit by a bus or something, where we can actually do something about that.
Yeah.
And I don't think you think about it when you're in your 20s and 30s. And
oh, no.
Maybe not even when you're in the 40s. But I think when you get to this side of the walk, and especially if you have aging parents and things going on, you suddenly think, man, what is it that I want to be known for?
Mm.
And we actually can do something about it now.
Mm.
And I think we do care about, before you don't care about things because you're just trying to get to where you're trying to get to and look after your family and, work through your marriage and do all of those things. So there isn't time to even think about what do I want? And I think this is the age where we do go, well, what do I want?
Yeah.
What do I want to be known for? What lights me up? What doesn't light me up?
And some of that is the memories you make for yourself and some of it's what you're leaving behind, right?
Yeah.
So there's a book, I think it's called 10 Good Summers.
Okay.
Written by a man who got to, I'm going to say 55 or 60, and realised that he probably only had 10 summers left that he would have his health, his fitness, you know, enough money to do the things he wanted. 10 summers. So 10 summers of 12 weeks each.
Wow.
It's not very much, 120 weeks to fill up with all the things that he wanted to achieve in life. And yes, you know, arguably you might have another 10 after that, but, you know.
You kind of guarantee
it. It was convenient for the book.
Yeah,
10.
Fits in there.
But that's about how you live your life well. Yeah. And what I'm kind of talking about is what you're remembered for.
Yes.
It's almost, it's not even the dying well, but it's what's left at the end.
Yes.
When I might have talked about this on another episode, but my mum's in a retirement village, and when somebody passes away, you're only given days to get the house cleaned because they want it back on the market. Because for anyone listening who thinks that retirement homes are a fabulous lifestyle, they're not. They're a massive rip-off, and it's a real estate business. So as long as you go into it with your eyes open, it's a real estate business. So they want you out as quickly as possible so that the place can be flipped.
Yeah.
And so if the kids live, the children of the person live overseas or live in another part of the country, or even if they're local but they work, which often they
do,
usually are,
It's
a very limited amount of time. So they might only have days, you know, to clean out this house. So there's no opportunity for everyone to sit around and go, remember this, and oh, I love this, and I love that. They just literally are throwing the stuff out. So when Mum first moved to this village and she would see this happening, she was really upset by it. You know, they just don't have any care for people's lives, and people have built up this entire lifetime of memories.
Yeah.
And she had a neighbour who was an avid collector, and he had something like 50 years of magazines. So I got a couple. I got one from When the Man Landed on the Moon. She saved that one for me, and a couple of others. But this guy had just boxes and boxes and boxes of these first edition magazines from the 1940s and 50s and 60s, among other things that this man had collected. And the kids came in and just went, we just can't. One lived in Australia, one lived somewhere else. We've just got to get rid of it. And so the stuff was literally being put in the skip.
Wow.
So heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But there's no choice, right? So this guy had built all this stuff up thinking it would be his legacy. Actually, it's not your legacy. It's just stuff.
Yeah.
So I was listening to this podcast the other day called Who Gets the China?
Oh.
And that podcast is about what happens. What is that legacy of that person? So it's kind of a decluttering podcast, but it's also about funeral planning and all of the things about who gets the china.
Yeah.
But she talked about that too. Like, what do you want to be remembered for?
Yeah.
Your kids do not want to remember you as having to spend $1,000 on a skip and take a week of their holidays to clean out all your crap because you didn't do it. Because although it's important to you, it's not important to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's made me think really carefully about what's in my house, what do I want to keep, what, and there isn't much stuff in my house, you know, you've been there, but what do I want people to remember me for beyond the stuff sitting in boxes? They're like, why has she kept this thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I've kept all my kids' reports and all of that, and I said, I've got all your stuff. And they were like, who cares? Throw it away. What really freaked them out is I had a little tub full of their teeth. And my son was like, that is like serial killer stuff,
and
Mom.
And it is kind of weird, right? Because at the time, you think, oh, that's really cute. Because it's not that long ago. I pulled out the teeth and I went, my kids will be listening. I don't have them anymore. Just saying. At the time, it was really cute to keep their first teeth. Now I'm looking at them going, these 20-year-old little, what do I do with it? And where do you put it? Yeah. Do you put it in the rubbish bin?
Yeah, like you're throwing a bottle of your kid away. My kids were like horrified. They were like, that's so weird and gross.
And what's worse is that it's now just destroyed for all of our millions of listeners.
Yeah.
The story of the Tooth Fairy has now been destroyed.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there we go. Luckily, none of the kids do.
Oh, terrible. But, mine do.
I do that. Do they still believe
in the little ones? The little ones don't.
Yeah.
Neve, don't give this to your daughter.
Yes.
So, but I think, that's an interesting legacy, right? Yeah, my mum was the one that kept all my baby teeth. Is that what you want?
Was it you?
I want to be remembered for.
Oh, I used to often forget, and then I'd like, maybe he was busy or she was busy. have to do it the next night with a little sorry I was ahead of something else on.
Yeah, the Tooth Fairy. I remember reading it was probably pre the internet, a woman who said that her new low was when she'd gone into her own kid's piggy bank and taken out money to put and then put it out from the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's
funny. That is a new low, isn't it?
That is a new low. Oh my gosh. Imagine if you got caught, that would be even worse. Imagine that legacy.
The thing is, though, I guess if you forgot, you could say, well, I told you the Tooth Fairy knocks off at 9 p.m. Yeah. and you still weren't asleep. So you'll have to have another
Your
go.
Your fault.
You know, isn't it amazing how as a parent we can learn to lie so easily?
I know, it's terrifying.
Is that a legacy you want?
My mother lied a lot. The Tooth Fairy and Father Christmas was all a lie.
What?
Oh, sorry, I've just broken.
I beg your pardon.
Spoiler alert, people.
I would just want you to know, Santa Claus still comes to my house.
Does he?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the only year Santa didn't come was the year I relied on my then boyfriend,
right,
the one who died,
to
told him. Yes. And I put my stocking up and I came out the next morning and it was empty.
He probably chased Father
Devastating.
Christmas away.
Devastating.
Yeah.
Devastating.
Yeah.
So, yes, Father Christmas still comes to my house. There were stockings there for my children.
Good.
I didn't fill them. Santa must have done it because it wasn't me.
No. Yeah. What a legacy, hey?
That's a nice legacy. I hope my children will remember that the magic of Christmas is still alive.
Yeah. Huh. So what are you doing right now to ensure a legacy you would like to have?
Well, should I tell you that I've already started my Christmas shopping?
Oh, my gosh. You're amazing. I do my Christmas shopping on the 24th.
No, I've already started. So, yeah,
wow.
So the legacy of Christmas, the legacy of Father Christmas will live on.
Mm-hmm.
For me it's absolutely about tradition.
Right.
Keeping those family traditions going, the new ones and the old ones, making sure that some of the language that sits around particularly around family, that we're using those kind of common expressions and all of that kind of thing. In my work life, I still don't quite know what I want that to be. But if I could do funeral celebrancy for a job, which I still hope I can one day, and I can help other people create a legacy, that would be quite a good
legacy. That'd be really cool.
It's like legacyception.
She was a legend and she created legacies for us.
She created legacies for other people's legacies. My legacy is other people's legacies. So I think that's a nice thing to ponder on. And I know next week's episode is going to be kind of
meaty,
related but separate around dying well and getting old well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, good chats.
Yeah, really good chats. Awesome.
See you next week.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We're stoked if something in this episode sounded like you.
Come and find us on Instagram and tell us your moment. We read every message at the Sandwich Club Pod.
You can listen to the Sandwich Club wherever you get your podcast, here at Free FM or Apple, Spotify, or all the usual places.
And you can email us too, thesandwichclubpod@gmail.com.
We'll meet you in the middle. Here I am, stuck in
the middle. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.